Steeler fans, welcome to a brand new episode. Whether you're watching on YouTube, listening or on podcast, it doesn't matter. It's a new show. It's Steelers One-on-One. What I thought of was I wanted a way to kind of get other people's perspectives on the Steelers. Look, if you follow the Steelers news, if you follow the Standard is the Standard, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com's major podcast, well, then you know what my opinions are. But what about everyone else? That's where this show came from, and that's why I brought in a good friend of mine, used to be a contributor at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, Christopher Carter, who now is at DKPittsburghSports.com. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Jeff, I'm doing great. It's great to be back with you, man. I miss being on the Stand of the Standard with Lance, telling my man what's happening, but great to be back on this, back with you guys.
Absolutely. Now, before we get talking about, the black and gold, the Pittsburgh Steelers, go ahead and tell us what you're doing at DK Pittsburgh Sports, how people can find the website, and anything else you want to say about the website.
So I'm the NFL analyst for DKPittsburghSports.com. Essentially, if you followed me at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com years ago, where I was doing film studies, I do a much more extensive version of that for DKPittsburghSports.com right now. So if you want to check us out, DKPittsburghSports.com, we cover everything Pittsburgh between the Pirates, the Penguins, the Steelers, Pitt, Duquesne, Robert Morris, West Virginia, the Riverhounds, the soccer team. We have Penn State coverage as well. We even do some Point Park when they have stuff going. But the point is, everything Pittsburgh, we cover it. We have a great coverage. We have Lance Lysowski doing a great job on the Pirates as they go through their things. We have Chris Bradford on the Penguins with Dejan Kovacevic covering everything. And my buddy Dale Lally's our NFL beat writer. He's doing a great job. You can also see great photography from Matt Sunday. My current column is called Carter's Classroom, where I break down film all the time on the Steelers, on their opponents, on draftees, and just giving you that X and O's football analysis that real football fans always want to get. So that's what I have there. I learned it from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. So definitely, I always got love for the site, and I always check in to see what Jeff and them are doing. But I'm glad to do that, and I suggest you come and check us out. We have a 99-cent deal where you can come and try us out for a month. If you don't like us, we say thanks for trying us out. But if you like us, that's a great way to try out, to sign up for a buck, get on the website, see what all we got. And especially come football season, it's a big boost to seeing how we get in the locker room, how we talk to players, and how myself went from blogging to being in the press box.
There you go. That's an impressive story. And I am a subscriber to that website. I would highly recommend it to anyone. But let's talk about the Steelers.
Let's do it.
One thing I like about this YouTube channel and the podcast platform is you don't hear all the crap. You don't have to hear about the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Patriots. It's just nothing but the Steelers. So let's get right to it. Mm-hmm. I want to get your perspective. You watch more film than anyone else that I know. First, on the free agency, the Steelers are rather quiet. They didn't do too much, but they did make some moves that I thought were rather impressive. They signed John Bostic, formerly of the Bears and of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes.
That was one of those, I see it come across the wire and I'm thinking, who? I honestly had no clue who this guy was. I knew nothing about him, had to do some research, found out, went to Florida, yada, yada, yada. I think the biggest thing was Morgan Burnett, the safety. He's very versatile. He's a veteran. I want to know, what were your overall views on not just those players that were acquired, but what were your views on the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe even their lack of movement in free agency and what they got in? What were your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, Jeff, you know as well as I do that the Steelers do not make ridiculous moves in free agency. They know that that's not how championship teams are built. At least long-standing dynasties are built. They've always built through the draft and through their own development of players, or if they can find guys for cheap. And if they can find that occasional stab in free agency, like a James Ferrier, a Ryan Clark, those type of guys, they'll go grab them and add them into the mix. But it's not something that you see them make huge moves too often. I honestly thought Morgan Burnett was a huge surprise to me. He was one of my higher-graded safeties in free agency. And with his experience in the box, I mean, I put tape on DKPittsburghSports.com of how he matched up one-on-one with Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski, and he's able to hang with those guys. That's a talent that this team could really use, is covering those tight ends, working in the box so that they can allow Sean Davis to drop back and be more of that deep range safety to use his speed. So I think that was a huge move. John Bostic, and I mean, I knew who he was, and I'd seen a little bit of tape on him, but the more I look at his athleticism and how quickly he gets to the ball, people look at the fact that he's bounced around teams as a bad thing. I see it as look, we know teams knew that they had to pay that guy eventually, and they just didn't want to because they had other priorities. John Bostic's a player. He's a good, like a poor man's Mac, I want to say, as far as he's not like a superstar, but he's going to fill holes, and you're going to see him be such an upgrade over Sean Spence, Tyler Matakavich, or trying to put Arthur Motes at inside linebacker. To me, that was a huge move to try and solidify. I do think the Steelers need one more inside linebacker, because if you have to rotate in Tyler Matakavich right now, I don't think he's ready just yet. I still think he needs another year of improvement. But who knows, maybe this is the year that he bursts onto the scene, but I think they need another guy to sort of be that bridge in between those players. And I think that's the move that they still could make. So the jury's still out on the off season for me, because I do think there's one more pickup coming during training camp.
Okay. Who you thinking? Navarro Bowman, Lawrence Timmons reunion. Is there anyone else that we're not thinking of that might be a possible target?
I believe his name is Gerald Hodges or Avery Hodges or Gerald Avery. He's a linebacker from the Saints. The name escapes me at this very moment. But he's been a free agent for a long time. He's 27 years old. He's right in that range you want to get. And he's athletic. He can get around. That's the thing. They need an athletic guy who can move to the ball. Now, the good thing is people are thinking, oh, why aren't they signing him right now? Well, the thing is, they don't need to. No one is making free agent moves right now. So the clock is ticking on these players. They're going to get more antsy to sign on cheaper deals. And also, the Steelers are also thinking this way. Say another team has a big player go down in training camp, like all teams do. We've already seen the Eagles lose Warlow and the Chargers lost Hunter Henry, I believe it was, to injury. Teams like that, say a team loses a slot corner. Well, then all of a sudden you feel, hey, we can move Mike Hilton to this team and get somebody starting inside linebacker or their number two guy. That's a much better option than Tyler Matakavich. So I think that's what the Steelers are waiting. They know that there's several more options out there that aren't just free agent pickups. It might be a training camp trade. You just never know with how injuries and how the season plays out. So I'm okay with the patience. And I think that it's a smart move on their part.
And if anything has been proven by the Steelers the past few years, is that they are willing to make deals closer to the regular season. Last year, it was Hayden acquired after he was released. It was Vance McDonald being traded for. Prior to that, everyone remembers the Brandon Boykin trade with the Philadelphia Eagles during training camp. So they are not immune to that. They do look for that. That's a good possibility. Now, I do want to talk about that defensive situation, but before we get to that, I want to talk about the NFL draft class. 2018 sure. NFL draft, 7 draft picks. Definitely some surprises in there. I want to know what your overall thoughts were on the whole group.
Well, first of all, start with the top. Terrell Edmonds, I had him as a second-round pick, a late second-round pick in my book. A lot of people said, oh, he was fourth or fifth round. I feel like in my book, like, yeah, he wasn't one of the most talented safeties. I thought if the Steelers really could have gone after somebody, it would have been Justin Reed, because I felt like he was the best pure center-fielding free safety. But you look at Edmonds' tape, and I did a study on him going into the draft, and when I see Terrell Edmonds, I see a guy that can hit, a guy that can play deep. He does all of those things. The thing is, he never settled into one role, so he never really had the opportunity to really shine doing one thing. But I think with his size, he's the same sort of build as Ryan Shazier. He's just a few pounds lighter than him, 10 or 12. But this guy, he can move, he can hit, comes up in the box. The way he fills at the line of scrimmage, I really like how he attacks gaps and helps with gap integrity. You also got to like how he's able to fly back and find his man in zone coverages. And that's what the Steelers need. There are big guys that can play that sort of dime safety package right now, be the extra linebacker, and eventually work into the rotation of safeties. And I think right now they're in a good spot with Davis and Burnett as you're starting two. And if you add Terrell Edmonds as your next guy in the rotation, that's another boost of athleticism. But I think the guy that everyone should really watch out for is James Washington. This guy was the best in my book hands catcher of this NCAA class, of the top of the class. A lot of the guys, even Calvin Ridley, the guy at Alabama that ended up going to the Falcons. A lot of those guys, when it was big catch time, they would catch with their body. They would trap it to some part of their body. James Washington would make all those huge catches for Mason Rudolph. with his hands. You see him put up the diamond, you know, find locate the ball, snag it in, bring it into his body that way. But he was catching with his hands first. And if you paid attention all throughout the pre-draft setup, Mel Kiper Jr. said the same thing on about his tape evaluation of Washington. That this guy, he looks to catch with his hands, and that's such a key trait for NFL receivers. Don't try to trap the ball. Use your hands to make sure you're securing the ball, not your pads. As far as Mason Rudolph, I thought it was an interesting move to get him. As far as trading Martavis Bryant so they could trade up to get Mason Rudolph, I think that it's a solid pick. If I was going to pick a quarterback, I think I would have taken Lamar Jackson. That was my guy in the draft. I think he's going to be a threat as long as he can have weapons around him. What the Ravens do with him, it'll be interesting to see. But I thought Lamar Jackson would have been the perfect pick to sort of learn behind Ben for the next few years and then come up in an offense with a ton of weapons and put all of his tools to use. But Mason Rudolph, guy with a good head on his shoulders, he has a decent arm. Not the explosive arm that, you know, Ben Roethlisberger or Lamar Jackson has, but a good enough arm to complete those middle passes, get the ball deep, create those jump ball opportunities. And I think that he's going to have a good – I think he has a really good chance to have a good career in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, those three players are certainly talked about a lot. I do want to talk about, from that draft class.
Sure.
Who do you think would have – and it could be any of the seven players. I mean, you could go undrafted, but I don't think there's anyone that would fall into this category. Who do you think will have the biggest impact in 2018? I'm not talking future and who's going to have the best career, right, but who's going to have the biggest impact this year? Will there be anyone, or will it be a jumbled up mess where they might see a little bit of time here or there?
I think you're going to see James Washington having a big impact this year as the third receiving option for the Steelers. He's going to have some big play opportunities. I think you're going to see him make some big catches over the middle, beat some defensive backs on some slants and some inner posts. But that's the easy answer. I want to give you guys the hard answer. And I think the guy that everyone's going to start to like is Marcus Allen out of Penn State. That guy hits hard, fills holes. He's kind of the extra linebacker build that you like to see out of those guys. And what I liked is what I saw out of him a lot at Penn State. He would come up, hit running backs hard, be the extra sort of linebacker, and he could help in coverage. Not as much, but I think on special teams, he's going to become a useful asset. And I think he's going to become an early season favorite, a season favorite for a lot of people that are like, hey, I like to see a young guy that didn't get drafted high and finds a way to make plays for us.
Do you think James Washington starts the regular season as number three behind Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster? Or do you think someone else, whether it's Justin Hunter, Darius Hayward-Bey, someone like that, starts the year and then he eventually moves his way in?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think that the Steelers, they pride veterans and experience in the system over all else. And I think that that's going to be what leads to him starting like that. Because I remember Eli Rogers was getting snaps over Juju Smith-Schuster at the beginning of last season. So consider that this year, you're going to, you got another guy. Now the Steelers, they picked them both second round guys. You know, they're both talented wide receivers that were highly touted in their draft class and slipped to the back end of the second round. I think that you're going to see a similar situation with Washington, but I think you're going to see him quickly ascend and get into that rotation similarly to how Juju did. I just don't think that he'll get as many targets because I think that Juju's going to have a big year himself for a good sophomore season, and that's going to make it more difficult for Washington to stand out and shine.
Okay, so let's kind of – the offseason is not over. I mean, they're just half – they're almost through mini camp, and then we hit the dog days of summer where obviously you have that whole month and a couple weeks until they report to camp. And as an analyst right now, are you pleased with what the Steelers have done, both in the draft and free agency? Or are you kind of disappointed thinking, I was hoping they would do more?
I did want the Steelers to make a bigger move for an inside linebacker. I thought that there was a chance to move up in the draft, or even just to make a move. Because honestly, when you look at the guys that were available in the first round, they were all gonna go. His name escapes me right now. Van Der Esch. It's been so long since I've talked about the draft guys because it seems like that was like 2 years ago now. But I really liked Leighton Van Der Esch. I thought he was one of my top guys. The guy out of Alabama, his name escapes me right now, but
Rashawn Evans.
Yeah, I did. He was one of the first guys I reviewed for DK Pittsburgh Sports, and I was like, this guy is a truck. He's going to hit hard. He doesn't cover as well. But when I looked at Leighton Van Der Esch, I was like, man, that guy is like in so many big games. I don't know if you watched like the different games he played at Boise State, Jeff, but this guy, when Boise State had it on the line, where it was a big moment, you could guarantee that Van Der Esch was going to find his way to the ball. He forced a fumble in overtime. He intercepted a team. He intercepted two teams on their final drives to close out games. He would find a way to get to the ball, rip the ball out. That guy was a playmaker. And I think I knew that once the word got more out about Van Der Esch, he was going to go higher up in the draft. The only chance the Steelers have was to trade up. And to be honest, I mean, the Steelers, they don't trade up unless they see the ultimate player like Troy Polamalu there. So I'm not mad at them for not doing that. But at the same time, that's where the kind of point it's like, yeah, wish that would have happened, because that would have been a whole new storyline for me to analyze here in Pittsburgh. All right, we got this guy with Vince Williams. How's that going to work? You know, and then the Shazier story of him coming back, lots of different things. But all in all, the Steelers, they know they have a good core. They know that they're just a few injuries or pieces away from, or just bad moments away from getting to the big games. And I mean, the Jaguars game, they were one possession out of winning that game, one pick six or fumble return for a touchdown by Roethlisberger from beating the Jaguars, the team that almost beat the Patriots. And that's another team that the Steelers almost beat in the regular season. People who think that the Steelers are so far gone and they stand no chance because they didn't add superstars to their defense, I think you're a little misguided. They still finished in the top five in pass defense, still finished in the top 10 in run defense, had the most sacks. They played really great in my eyes in a lot of standings. And when it comes to this stuff, I set for myself. When it comes to their style of football, they have the players. If Hayward and Tuitt are healthy, if Watt makes a solid progression, I also think it's important to note this team has, I think, seven starters that are 25 and younger, in Tuitt, in Dupree, in Watt, in Hargrave, in Burns, in Davis. I mean, these guys got young guys. Hilton's another one. They have youth all over the place that are learning. And their older guys are star players like Joe Hayden, like Cam Hayward. And I think Vince Williams, an underrated guy, he's a buck linebacker. You blitz him against a running back, he's going to win that battle. I like the way they're set up right now. I think they need John Bostic to be as advertised, be that max style linebacker that stops the run and can swat the occasional pass. And they need the offense to come out and be consistent. If Ben Roethlisberger can play the entire season the way he played the last eight games last year, this offense is in for a huge numbers-wise season.
That's a great segue into the next topic I wanted to bring up. A lot of people were looking at the schedule. I know you've looked at the schedule. You've analyzed the schedule. You've looked at things like where's the bye week, where are the division games. And it, quite frankly, it's surprising to me how front-loaded the division games are this year. I'm pretty sure that technically if things were to fall in a certain way, the AFC North could actually be wrapped up, I want to say, by week 13 or 14. I think they're done with their division games by then. Anyways, the point is, I want to know, if you were in Vegas and the over-under line is set at 11 wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2018, are you taking the over, the under, or are you going to be a punk and hit push?
I'm saying over. I think this team is poised. One, they're angry. They know that they left a lot on the table last year. They know that, and the Jaguars really left a bad taste in their mouths. If you could have been in that locker room, Jeff, after that game, the way they were looking at each other was like, man, we just let these guys punk us. And that was the feeling that I think that they got around. Mike Mitchell, even though he's not there anymore, I felt horrible for this guy because he tried to be that leader so many different times this season. He was hurt all year. He was trying to find ways to step up. And at that point in time, you know, everyone wanted to talk to him and say, oh, how'd you feel about that game? Because you called these guys out and then they just beat you guys. Kevin Colbert stood in front of his locker and said, nobody's talking to that guy. I appreciated that clash from the Steelers. I was like, I don't want to bug that guy because that's not my style. But as far as right now, this team is hungry. They want to win, and I think they know they can't just throw away games. They've got the young guys that have the experience and have felt the taste of losing. It's the same sort of thing that happened in the 2000s. You remember those early 2000s team with Joey Porter when they lost to the Patriots, and then they lost to the Titans in the playoffs and lost to the Patriots again. And the feeling that they got from them, and Joey Porter in 2005 just said, we're not doing that this year. That's not how we're going to work. And you saw that fire from those guys. I think you're going to start seeing that more and more from this group, because now they've been to, what, 3-4 years in the playoffs row, and they've been bounced in different ways. Whether it's the Ravens or the Patriots or the Broncos or the Jaguars now, they know what this is like, and they're tired of feeling that way. I think they're going to be willing to step up.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season for a lot of different reasons. A lot of off-field narratives are going on, and I want to have you back on and talk about that, but let's look forward now.
Yeah, sure.
And let's look at training camp, because okay. July 25th at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, the boys are back in town. They will be donning pads, hitting for the first time, and that's when the excitement for the team really starts. It's not mini camp. It's football and shorts, as Mike Tomlin calls it. You can give me as many or as few as you want. Give the listeners out there some training camp battles, some position battles that you think highlight sure. these. Underline them when you take your notebook to camp. You're writing this down. Keep an eye on this battle. Who are some of those battles?
One thing that has come up recently is the position of the backup tackle position, because you had Gerald Hawkins, who was supposed to become the new Chris Hubbard. He really was supposed to be the new Villanueva, but he never matured into that, and that's why the Steelers re-signed Villanueva to a big deal last year. But Gerald Hawkins going down to injury, that opens up a spot at tackle. The Steelers then have to look to Okorafor, who they drafted in the fourth round this year, and they also have to look to – or they drafted in the third round, I'm sorry. They also have to look to Matt Filer, who was on the team last year and came up from the practice squad, but they signed Bryce Harris, who's a veteran player from the Saints, only 4 starts in his career. But Bryce Harris is a veteran. He knows how to work his feet, but he doesn't know how to win battles with his hands as much. And when he engages with linebackers, that's when I see problems with Bryce Harris. That's a battle I think you want to watch. Also, look at the diamond nickel cornerback positions. Mike Hilton has been the slot man from all last year. But Cameron Sutton, I think, is one of the most underrated players in this team. He's a future star in this NFL, or a future like big-time role player at least. The guy knows football. He's very smart. I've talked to him several times. This guy, he knows what his fundamentals, and he knows the schematics of the game. Real student. Him against Mike Hilton, against Terrell Edmonds, whoever they're trying to fight to get on that as that extra DB on the field that plays that sort of William Gay role that can